This Do Lectures episode features midwife and birth activist Caroline Flint, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2011.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me. I feel very honoured and very touched. I get to read from the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Hang on. That's not the beginning for me. As far as I'm concerned, that's not the beginning. The beginning is birth. That's the beginning. The beginning, and I cry all the time, so you'll have to ignore me. The beginning of the birth of a baby. The birth of a mother. The birth of a father. The birth of a family. That's the beginning. That is the pivot of our civilization. It's the pivot of our spirituality. It's the pivot of how we are, what we do. It's when relationships are formed. So when a baby is born gently, lovingly, with deep respect, touched and handled gently and beautifully, talked to softly, coming out in dim lighting to welcoming parents, that has to affect us. That has to affect that baby in its whole life. It has to. I like furniture moving too. That has to. When a child is welcomed into the world, it knows that the world is a wonderful and beautiful place, and that there is space in the world for that person. But when a child is dragged out and sucked out and stimulated and bashed about, it teaches that child that the world is rather a cruel place, and maybe it wasn't really welcome. When a woman, I've lost my place, where we are. When a woman gives birth with power, in ecstasy, triumphant, I did it! It teaches her that she is powerful. It teaches her that she's meant to be a mother, that she can do it, that she's really powerful, she's really strong, that she's really good at this childbirth thing, that she's brilliant, that she's doing what she was destined to do. It sets her up for being a committed, loving mother who is confident and happy in her achievements. But if she's pushed about, however kindly, and if she's manipulated into different positions. It's funny, the whole time I've been here, I have been in text communication with somebody who I taught, because I teach for the NCT, who is being at the moment bullied into having an induction of labour, who wants a home birth. And it's interesting when you see it all the time, that women are being pushed into doing things. And if her baby's dragged out of her, and if she's rescued in a panicky situation, and if she's been cut and hurt, sometimes abused, and what's so difficult is often she's grateful to the abusers because they've rescued her, they've helped her. But it's no way of starting a 24/7 job, feeling depleted and battered about, and all those sort of things. The same with the birth of the father. If a man is with his beloved partner who's in pain and it's going through a long, tedious process, and he's able to say, darling, I'm with you, you're doing beautifully, wow, hold on to me, let's go and do a pee, I want to keep your bladder empty. he knows he's done really useful and good and powerful and brilliant stuff. But if he's sort of, sit over there. Don't get in the way, Father. Birth has to be the absolute cornerstone of our culture, the way we are introduced to this world, either as a baby or as a mother or a father, has to be one of the most important things that happens in our civilization. And at the moment, the whole paradigm of birth is tragic. It's completely skewed. Think about it. We're mammals, yes? We all agree we're mammals. Everybody in this room is a mammal. We're in the country. Now, I'm not a country person. I'm not terribly keen on the country, actually. I had a fly on me yesterday. I had a fly in my apple. It was very tasty. But anyway, do that. I'm not a great one for wildlife. But those of you who come from the country, you know how mammals are in labour. How are they in labour? Where do they go? What do they do? Thank you. Thank you. They go to a safe place. Mammals in labour need privacy. They need privacy. And the other thing they need darkness. I have been a midwife for 35 years. I've been on call for 35 years. And I have been called during daylight hours on 15 occasions. Mammals normally go into labour at night. They need privacy, they need darkness, and they do not like being looked at. They do not like being looked at. This is a normal physiological process. So there are other times we don't like being looked at. I'm sorry, I told them I wouldn't sit on a chair, I'm going to. Here am I. I mean, I want to talk about having your bowels open, all right? Something we do every day, yes? Many of us have done it already today, yes? It's not a big production, it's just something we do. And we sit on the loo, comfortably, with our newspaper or our magazine, yes? Can you just take yourself there? Imagine yourself there. Now, I want you to look over your newspaper and there's a pair of eyes, there's a little hole in the door. And there's a pair of eyes looking at you. Yeah? What would happen? Constipation, generally. It's the same with making love. Making love is also a normal physiological process. Yes? Which we normally do in a place which is quite dimly lit or dark, and it's very private. So can you imagine making love with the person you love most? You're there, you can smell him, or her, you can smell him, you can, his voice, he's touching you in lovely places. And suddenly there's somebody standing there saying, okay, now John, I think if you moved your left leg a bit to the right, and Mary, your bottom needs to go a bit underneath, yeah? Okay, I don't want to interrupt, I don't want to interfere, but can you see these are normal physiological processes in the same way that birth is? Birth is part of our sex lives, obviously. Some women even have orgasms during labour. Our sex lives are when we produce oxytocin. Oxytocin is also called the hormone of love. And oxytocin is the only way that our uteruses contract and our cervixes open. So we need oxytocin, and we need huge amounts of oxytocin. And it's fascinating to watch women in labour, because there comes a point in labour where they hurl off their clothes if they're feeling relaxed. And I've often wondered, why do they hurl off their clothes? You know, they often don't have that many clothes on, but they always take them off. And then I learnt, because when we're naked, we produce more oxytocin. That's why we normally make love naked. I mean, I know we don't always make love in naked. I mean, when you're in a hurry, often you just don't think, you know, but... So... childbirth is part of our sex life,
And it's fascinating. The more oxytocin you produce, the more endorphins you produce, which are the body's natural morphines, which enable women to manage the pain, because the pain is there. There is no question. Labour is very painful. Our sex lives. It's fascinating to be with women in labour because they are incredibly active and incredibly sensual. Oh. Sorry. They make very sensual noises, the sort of noises that they might make when they're making love in a private house, not making love in a tent, for instance, on a campsite, you know. But making love in privacy. So what have we done? What have we done to women? What is being done to women every day throughout the United Kingdom, all day? Well, first of all, they're taken into a room where there's a bed and a chair. Brightly lit, incredibly uncomfortable, a bed and a chair. So the woman lies on the bed and the man sits on the chair. If I tell you that I ran for 22 years a birth centre, a little birth centre run by midwives, which sadly went into liquidation in December. I wish I'd met Les before, but anyway. In 22 years, we had one woman who gave birth on a bed. Because when women have a choice, they don't go near a bed. They stand up. They moan, oh, bugger this. They swear, oh, fuck this, this is ridiculous. They make lots of noises, oh. They move around all the time, swearing and groaning and... Oh. And they don't like to be looked at. What we have done in our culture is we have industrialised maternity care. There is a shortage of midwives. There isn't really. It's a myth, like diabetes, it's a myth. There are lots of midwives in this country. In fact, I suspect there's a good 10 in this room. But they're not being midwives. And why aren't they being midwives, which is the most exciting job in the world? They're not being midwives because it's so frustrating. They're not being midwives because it's so frustrating working in an industrialised maternity hospital. And the response of the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists to the fact that we have a midwifery shortage is that we should set up huge factory hospitals where more women can give birth. And this is our problem at the moment. Birth is controlled by surgeons, and we have made too many doctors in this country. Mostly nice, committed, hard-working, caring people trying to earn their own living, for goodness sakes, but they do, as Mohammed said earlier, have to specialise. To get a job, you have to specialise. And which is why suddenly in our nearby hospital, we had dozens of women with obstetric cholestasis. What? Obstetric cholestasis is a very rare disease of the liver during pregnancy, but suddenly nearly every woman in our local hospital had it. Why? Because a doctor was doing research into it. I've got some pictures to show you. This is the birth centre that I ran for 22 years. That big building next to it here is St George's Hospital in Tooting, an NHS hospital which owned this building. This is the ramp into the hospital from our birth centre. And this is the sitting room. You know, it just looks like a normal house. Guess what? It is a normal house. It had a nice garden, a nice kitchen, But in every room there was a deep water pool. And the advantages of water are legion. It makes women feel more private. Can anybody hear me? You can, okay. It makes women feel more private. Women are made more buoyant. And what happens during pregnancy is that progesterone makes all the joints in your body softer and looser. And so when a woman moves her pelvis, it's very, very flexible. And when she's buoyant in the water, she gets into weird positions which enable the baby to come out whatever position it's in. Brilliant. And if, as far as pain relief, water is magical. I would suggest that if there was a small water pool in every labour room in the country, the rate of epidurals would plummet. But there are jobs involved, so nobody wants that, you see. Beds and a sofa. A sofa in every room and a soft mat on the floor. So most women in labour were in this position. And moving around, obviously, and swearing. Also had an ensuite lavatory. But the most important thing about each of these rooms is that we had wooden blinds where we could exclude any light. Because women in labour like to be in the dark. And that enables them to produce oxytocin better and for the labour to flow better. So midwives get used to groping round in the dark. But it works, you get used to it. Here's the ramp again into the hospital. And these are our statistics. You need to be aware that in all metropolitan hospitals at this moment, the cesarean section rate for women having first babies is between 40 and 45%. This is in a country where women are beautifully nourished. They are having one, two, or three babies. They're well educated. They should be having, I mean, the World Health Organization suggests between 10 and 15% cesarean section rates. That was our cesarean section rate, which has to be one of the lowest in the country. Our normal birth rate was 74%. Now, in most hospitals at the moment, the normal birth rate is less than 25%. So, in fact, normal birth is becoming highly, highly abnormal. You know, it just only happens if you slip in at night and nobody sees you almost. Our rate of out-of-hospital births, i.e. that's women at home or in our birth centre, was 62%. We had 40% of women in hospital. And breastfeeding, which is an incredibly important public health issue, breastfeeding's health benefits are phenomenal, both for the baby and for the mother, and for the future health of the community. At birth, we had a 98% breastfeeding rate. At 6 weeks, 89%. Be aware that at this moment, in this country, 9 out of 10 women give up breastfeeding in the first 6 weeks. That's what's... Now, were these results amazing? No, not a bit. They're always achieved by midwives. And they're achieved when women have privacy, have darkness, kind people to look after them, are treated gently, and have water to luxuriate in. Now, my talk may have been a bit depressing, but I actually am quite hopeful. Because the way that we're doing birth in this country at the moment is so expensive. And that's my hope for the future. A nice, natural, normal birth, which gives most women a really good start to being a mother, and most fathers a really good start to being a father, and most babies a really good start to childhood, is quite cheap. Nothing demanded, nothing needed. So, what's my big do? I've lost it. No, I haven't. Yes, I have. My big do is I wanted to bring this cornerstone of our civilization to your attention, because most people don't think about childbirth until they are actually pregnant or in labour. It's really important how the women of the United Kingdom give birth. It's really important how the babies of the United Kingdom are born. It is desperately important that you should know that. And just start campaigning for dark, cave-like rooms in every maternity hospital. So when you have your babies or when your friends have your babies, just say to them, you need a dark room. If you can't get one in the hospital, stay at home. Safest place, but anyway. My little do, carry on, being a midwife, lovely. Best thing ever. Thank you very much.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.